Good morning, Wednesday morning. And just as soon as the clouds rolled into parts of Saskatchewan, the sun has bumped back out, so we may not see. I think they're saying showers possible this afternoon and this evening. Overall, still fairly warm day today and a fairly nice one for those that are out harvesting. You know, we often pay very close attention to what's going on, especially at Saskatoon and Regina City Councils. It wasn't that long ago, Saskatoon City Council dealing with the housing accelerator funding, which that issue is far from done. Today at Regina City Council, they've got some pretty big topics up for discussion, things that we've talked about on the show, things that seem to find themselves smattered all over social media, the location for the emergency shelter in the city, whether or not Dewdney Avenue will be renamed. And remember, I had the mayor on Friday. I asked her the question, yes or no, do you think it will? She said no. We'll see if that holds true. This whole ice time issue at the Brandt Center, it's a discussion we're having on the show tomorrow, but they are discussing it at City Hall today. It's going to be interesting to see where that goes. And then, of course, they want to increase the debt ceiling to close to $900 million. A lot of people concerned about that. So big discussions happening at City Council, and we've got someone from our newsroom following that very closely, and we'll keep you up to date on that. Well, in 2024, Wi-Fi, access to the internet, is as important as it has ever been. You think about the number of things in our lives that rely on Wi-Fi, and we're not just talking about access to the internet through your computer, through your smartphone. For many, it's conveniences in their home, through their vehicle. It's a whole bunch, alarm systems on homes. There's a whole bunch of things that can be attached to and rely on Wi-Fi. Yet Wi-Fi is far from a given in the province. And I'm not just talking in the far northern regions of our province. A lot of areas in central and southern Saskatchewan are still without Wi-Fi. And there's some work being done to try and rectify that. Both the Saskatchewan Urban Municipalities Association and the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities are teaming up to do some work to try and move the ball down the field, if you will, on a Saskatchewan broadband network, and they've got an action committee set up. I've got two great leaders joining me on the show this morning. Jean-Marc Nadeau, CEO of SUMA, and Jay Meyer, Executive Director of SARM, both join me from their offices. Fellas, thanks for taking the call this morning.
Well, good morning, Evan, and great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you both. So let's start, maybe, Jean-Marc, I'll start with you, the Saskatchewan Broadband Action Committee. I've got the committee development and investment framework in front of me, and the number of people on this committee, it's a fairly large committee. It's a fairly big piece of work.
Absolutely. And I will give my colleague Jay the nod. He and his team came up with the idea of bringing all these people together to work collaboratively to develop a strategy to see broadband expanded in the province. So kudos to Jay and SARM for putting these people together.
So Jay, let's talk about what it was that was the catalyst to get this done. Was it what you hear from people in the province, experiences that are told to you? What was it that put this over the top and finally put pen to paper, bring people together in a boardroom and get this ball moving? Jay, have I got you there? We might have dropped Jay. Jean-Marc, I'll come to you with that question while we get Jay back connected on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. So the intent at the time was that we recognized, or Jay recognized, because I've had conversations with him, that a lot of these organizations were already working on some kind of a broadband advocacy strategy, but we were all working in silos. And so, SARM felt that it would be good to bring all these people together, these leaders that have a stake in seeing broadband expanded in the province. And listen, Evan, with the COVID and the lessons we learned through that pandemic, no time is more important than today to make sure that the broadband expansion happens. So that was the intent of bringing these groups together, is to make sure that we all work together as opposed to, and having one voice, more or less, as opposed to trying to do this on our own.
Good stuff. I think we've got Jay back on the line. Jay Meyer, Executive Director of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities. So, Jay, we were just talking about what the inception of this committee and this work was. Were there certain stories, were there certain things that you were hearing that caused you and gave you the incentive to get this moving?
I guess there was. I mean, the majority of the stakeholders that we have around our table here is it's a pretty important file to them because it crosses whether it's health or economic development or like you said, security. I mean, every one of them was working on this file one way or another and knocking on the door of the province and saying, you know, where are we at? How can we do better? How can we assist? The big thing is from the beginning is it was important to realize that municipalities aren't on their own on this one. The province is not on their own on this one. I think we got to work on this together to make this work. And that's just what it came down to. We're not here to point the fingers at anybody. This is a big file, very important, very costly, but it's going through COVID, we found out how important it is to all the communities in our province.
So on that note, and you touched on a couple of what I would call headings, but what are the consequences of not doing this, Jay? What are the consequences of not moving forward with an expanded broadband, giving access to Wi-Fi in the whole province, consequences for individuals and for communities?
Oh, that's a big question, Evan, and I appreciate it. You know, I'll just start with a lot of the producers out there, particularly around agriculture and the innovation around manufacturing and so on. I mean, a lot of their machinery is connected to some type of broadband for updates and so on that can hold up harvest or seeding. I mean, you talk about security. You talked a little bit about cameras and so on. I was mentioning my house in Regina here. I got 22 things hooked up versus my house in Shaunavon where I have 3 things hooked up. Recruitment of doctors, recruitment of RCMP, recruitment of nurses, recruitment of teachers. You know, you're just not recruiting professionally. Recruiting the family, right? And you can work from home now. Maybe the significant other has an opportunity to work from home. And kids these days, they expect the Netflix and PS2 to be able to work when they need to be. So, getting all this for economic development is just huge for small communities to recruit people too. So,
you know, those are some brilliant examples, Jay. I hadn't even thought about you're recruiting a doctor to come and work in a hospital, and it might even be, you know, in a hospital in a larger community. But if where they're living, their family can't access Wi-Fi or the internet, it's going to have an impact on whether they want to be here, which is has a direct impact on those people that we're trying to recruit. So I think it's a good point. Jean-Marc Nadeau, I want to come back to you. Jean-Marc is the CEO of the Saskatchewan Urban Municipalities Association. Can you give us a sense of what areas, if I'm looking at a map of Saskatchewan, how many pockets do we have where this is a problem?
Well, there's about 15% of the population of the province that doesn't have access to 5010, which is the CRTC standard. So it's all over the province. Evan, it's not just in, you know, obviously the north is one primary area, but there are pockets all over the province. I mean, you know, I drive the province, almost monthly, and there are times where I drop calls all the, you know, in areas where I think, you know, this would be well covered. So there are pockets all over the place. A couple of years ago, I went to Creighton northeast corner, and for about 3 hours, there's absolutely no coverage at all, no cell coverage, no bars, no nothing. So it, you know, in this day and age, it's important that we get to get that rolled out.
Are we getting some good buy-in from the province? And I don't just mean on this committee, but is there some work being done by the province, a provincial strategy to tackle this as well, Jay?
You know what? I can say that the province has been good to work with. They've been around our table, whether that's SaskTel or other ministries. We've met with CIC. The ministers have been very, very open to meet with us. We've met with LED secretaries, so they've been very good in regards to access and allowing us to discuss, you know, what we find as challenges. The challenge that we are finding is just what are we going to do with the last 15%? That's the quite often say of any project, including in your house. The first 85% is the easy part, but for some reason we can't get the baseboards on the floor because the last 15% you don't have money or energy. So the ROI on the last 15% is very important, and we're asking the province, you know, what is the plan for the last 15%? And that population base, so that's a lot larger geographically because we know the two largest populations cover half of our province. So, yeah, at the end of the day, they are working on it, but we're just asking for, you know, what is the plan? What is the plan for the last 15%? Is SaskTel responsible for that? Are we partnering with independent service providers? You know, can we get around a table and have that discussion with everybody and say, let's just get
there. So, Jay, I want to stick with you. What's your timeline? When are you hoping to have actual change happening and access universal in the province?
Well, we're hoping by 2025, which is pretty quick here, to have parity across the province in regards to access to reliable broadband, no matter where you live, understanding that we got to talk a little bit about the feds as well, because we need the federal government to step up, and they're having a challenge recognizing SaskTel's investment as a provincial investment because they're a crown. So, you know, we've heard a few announcements here last April at the SUMA convention. SaskTel made an announcement, I think it was around $130 million. We had the announcement from the feds just this last June. So we are seeing progress, whether that's because of the work we're doing or other advocacy groups or whatever that might be are pushing it, or there's this money available. But that's kind of what we're hoping for.
Jay Meyer, Executive Director of SARM. Also with me this morning, Jean-Marc Nadeau, who is the CEO of the Saskatchewan Urban Municipalities Association. Jean-Marc, I had Ray Orb and representatives from SARM in here just last week, and we talked about this possible rail disruption. How concerning is that to you and the SUMA team?
Well, listen, it's concerning when some of our municipalities are ag-based, and if they can't move their products, then you know, that's an issue from an economic standpoint. So definitely an issue for us. I think SARM has come out recently, and we certainly support their position. There's some challenges that are looming if that doesn't get resolved very soon.
It's one that we're watching very closely, and obviously today's a pretty important day. If nothing happens today, we will see that lockout or strike, depending on which rail line it is, happening effective just after midnight. Just before I let you go, Jean-Marc, I had your president, Randy Golden, on the show talking about the Canada Community Building Fund, especially when it comes to housing. Where are things at on that file? I feel like we're hearing some progressive work being done in the province. Has this been successful so far, or is there more advocacy work for you to do?
Well, we understand the province has been negotiating with the feds for the new CCBF, the New Canada Building Fund, and we understand that announcements are imminent, so we'll wait to see where we're at with that, but we're looking forward to that because our municipalities are revved up and ready to build, and you know, the infrastructure that's required in their municipalities.
Mm-hmm. Jay, you often get the opportunity to have your two organizations work together. I can't help but think there's strength in that. If SARM and SUMA can come together on a topic like broadband network and work together.
Yeah, you know what we do, Evan, on a provincial level, for sure. Our executives meet a few times per year, as well as our presidents. We also work together with the associations in Manitoba and as well as in Alberta, through what we call the Western Canadian Municipal Association. So we put a press release out just yesterday partnering with the rural associations in Alberta as well as the Association of Manitoba around the rail strike. So you know what? We do work very well together. Of course, there's going to be times where there might be a conflict in our files, but you know, we get through that, and it's definitely it all comes down to the people in Saskatchewan.
Good stuff. Well, this has been a good chat. I appreciate the work that both of your organizations are doing with regard to the Saskatchewan Broadband Action Committee, and I think it'd be good if we could stay in touch and stay connected to see how this plays out.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. Keep up the good job. Appreciate it.
Jean-Marc Nadeau, CEO of the Saskatchewan Urban Municipalities Association, and Jay Meyer, Executive Director of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities. Both of those organizations are champions and leaders when it comes to trying to provide Wi-Fi access, cell phone coverage for all parts of our province. That action committee continuing to do work. And as you heard, they've got an aggressive timeline trying to get this in place for the province by 2025, and right now about 15% of this province does not have that access. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. There's been some backlash to that. First Nation chiefs in Manitoba are calling for Prime Minister Trudeau to rescind the appointment of veteran broadcaster Charles Adler. They said he said some very negative past comments, grossly offensive comments towards Indigenous peoples in the past. He's perpetuated stereotypes. In 1999, he was doing a radio show in Winnipeg. He did radio for years. He called Indigenous leaders uncivilized boneheads. And there was a few things during that time period. There was a few different events going on that had him worked up. It's interesting with Charles Adler because he was known as a very conservative broadcaster for a long time. But in about 2019, he basically disassociated himself with the Conservative Party, had a bit of a parting of ways, and became almost a cheerleader for Trudeau, or at least moved himself on the political spectrum away from the conservative side of things. So, you know, you look at these two appointments, Tracy Mugley, who ran twice federally for the Liberal Party, Charles Adler, who in the last part of his career was much more closely aligned, I would say, with the Liberal Party. So they're independent appointments, but are they independent? That's part of the topic of conversation we're having tomorrow. In fact, we will be chatting tomorrow with Tracy Mugley on the show. Then I'll have Denise Batters, who's been a longtime supporter of the Conservatives, but she is also a senator. And we'll talk about the Senate itself. Is it redundant? Is it still have its purpose? Is it a necessary part of democracy? That conversation that you can weigh in on happening on the show tomorrow. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.